Today I'm speaking on part 10 of my continuing series called To the Law and to the Testimony. And I'm on verse Exodus 20 and verse 16, which says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And we are examining the Ten Commandments in the context of a passage that is found in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 11 is where it starts. If you would turn and follow with me, I'd like to read that to you. Isaiah 8 and verse 11. "For Yahweh spoke thus to me with a strong hand." You don't see that very often, the phrase "strong hand." This must be a really important message. "For Yahweh spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, 'Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled.' Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Let him be your oppressor or ruler. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Listen now. "He will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on Yahweh, who hides his face from the house of Jacob," that is, from all tribes of Israel, "and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom Yahweh has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter,' should not a people seek their Elohim? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their Elohim and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish." Now listen to that phrase, gloom of anguish. Gloom is like depression. Anguish is like anger. Have you ever been in a place of angry depression? It's almost seems like the opposite. Gloom of anguish. "And they will be driven into darkness." This is an amazing passage because it points to two houses. And I think that it points to two modern-day houses of Israel. Yahweh is speaking through Isaiah to the two peoples that make up the two sections of the Bible we carry around with us, the people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament. He is speaking to those who testify falsely of the law of Yahweh and to those who testify falsely of the Messiah of Yahweh. The law and the Spirit. The law and the Messiah. And I would say that both of those houses speak falsely about the law and the Messiah. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Now let us examine Exodus 20 and verse 16. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." To bear means to pay attention. To begin to speak, sing, shout, testify, or announce. False means an untruth. It means a sham or a fraud. And it also means without cause. In other words, without grounds or without foundation. It means deceitful, a falsehood, means feignedly, which means to invent or make up something. False can refer to a liar, a lie, a vain thing, or something wrong. It also means to cheat, to be untrue, to fail, or to deal falsely. To witness is to give testimony. Now, listen to this. To witness is to give testimony, to duplicate or repeat, to protest or testify by reiteration. We will see how this concept of repetition is vital in understanding the ninth commandment, the ninth of the Ten Commandments. Interestingly, the word witness also has the connotation of martyr, as in the covenant that Jacob and Laban made between each other that they would not trespass against each other for harm. They made an animal sacrifice as part of their witness to this covenant. And as a side note, one of the commonly applied verses that are taken out of context to mean something opposite than what Scripture really says comes out of this passage. I'm talking about in Genesis 31:49. You remember the adage that says, and I'm changing the words to, I'm putting the sacred names in there. Yahweh, watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. You can find it inscribed on medallions in the shape of a broken heart, with half the verse on one side and the other half on the other part of the broken heart, which lovers wear separately to convey their undying love for one another. The irony is that this covenant between Jacob and Laban was made as a truce between two warring peoples. So if the true context were applied to these medallions, each partner is really promising something like this. I promise I will stay away from you. I won't steal from you, nor will I kill you. You suppose that's where they got the expression undying love? I guess the deeper irony is that, considering today's society, maybe that's not such a bad promise. Finally, a neighbor is an associate, a brother, a companion, fellow, friend, or husband. I suppose I could throw in wife there as well. That is a neighbor. When we think about the ninth commandment, we often recite it as, thou shalt not lie. Period. And sometimes we envision people bearing false testimony in a court of law. But how often are we called upon to give testimony in a court of law? There is an extremely important phrase in this verse that I think we tend to forget. And the phrase is, against your neighbor. If we therefore applied the root definitions that I just gave you to Exodus 20:16, we might read it as, you shall not repeat ungrounded statements about those closest to you. Here is a contextual meaning that I believe Yahweh intends for us to hear in this commandment. He is describing a personal characteristic necessary for the benefit of his people. That is, if there is to be any semblance of peace and harmony and order. This is precisely the verse that admonishes us to do no harm to others. And there is much spiritual and scriptural evidence to this fact. Proverbs 11:13 says, for example, a talebearer, that is, a gossip, or a scandalmonger, reveals secrets. And secrets means confidential matters. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals or quiets a matter. Proverbs 17, verse 4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. So a liar is not just someone who speaks a lie, but someone who listens to lies being told. An evildoer. Proverbs 19, verse 22 says, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. 1 John 4 and verse 20 just a simple verse here. If someone says, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. And I would say someone who violates the ninth commandment. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love Yahweh, whom he has not seen? If you would turn to the book of Proverbs again, and chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 16 says, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And here's an example of someone who isn't saying anything, but they are defined as a liar by Scripture. Someone who hides their hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom. So how is it that someone who is angry in their heart and doesn't say it has lying lips? How can that be? Well, this is how I would see it. That in my experience working with people, the people that we are closest to, the people we love, are the ones that we get the most angry at. They are the ones that we have the highest expectations in. We look to those that we love to meet our needs. We look to our spouses to provide comfort, to do things the way we want them. We're pretty bold in that. And we expect a lot of things from those that we care about. And when others who are closest to us don't do what we expect, we feel disappointed. We feel afraid because we read into what... You know, someone who's angry, we know that they're angry because they're acting angry. They're slamming doors or turning away. We know they're angry. And when they don't tell us what their anger's all about, what do we think? I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. I'm a bad person. I messed up. And then we began to feel guilty and ashamed, powerless, disconnected. All those feelings turn into anger ourselves. So someone who's angry with us, who we care about, and who they care about us, if they don't tell us what they're angry about, that leads to other negative feelings. Because we care, we begin thinking these things. If we didn't care, we wouldn't worry about how we're impacting other people. So for me, this is what I read into this verse. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. James chapter 4, in two verses there, 11 and 12, says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil. Now listen to this. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? It's interesting. If we judge our fellow, those we fellowship with, those we care about, if we judge them, James, whose real name is Jacob, is saying that we are speaking evil of the law. And I suppose, in particular, he's speaking of the ninth commandment. Because we are not to speak evil of our brothers. Now, we've examined Exodus 20:16 in regards to gossiping amongst ourselves. But there is another important truth contained in this verse. So let me ask you, does Yahweh desire that we should be His children? Of course He does. So how do we express our love for Him as a member of His family? If you love me, obey my commandments. That's in Exodus 20, verse 6. It's also in John 14, verse 15 and 23. If you love me, obey my commandments. Spoken by Yahweh and spoken by Yahshua. And that's probably why James says that if you speak evil of a brother, you're violating the law. We are to bear testimony by understanding and obeying the law, being His law, and preaching the same. To preach false doctrine is to bear false witness to the truth. Isaiah 30 and chapter 30 and verse 8. Isaiah 30 and verse 8. Isaiah 30 and 8 says, "Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people." Now listen to this. "Lying children." And what makes them liars? "Children who will not hear the law of Yahweh." It says, "Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children who will not hear the law of Yahweh. Who say to the seers, to the prophets, 'Do not see.'" "And to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things.'" Smooth means flattery. Okay? "Flatter us. Don't tell us what's right." And he says, prophesy deceits. In other words, teach us lies. Bear false witness. Verse 11, "Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Does that sound familiar? Those who deny the law, who say that it's dead, but it doesn't apply to us, we're no longer under it. How much more powerful of a condemnation does one need in order to stop teaching the doctrines of mankind? How much clearer can our Creator be? The law of Yahweh is not dead, and it has not been nailed to the torture stake, because the law is not our propitiation for our sins. That which was nailed to the stake was the testimony from the law that we had sinned. Yahshua paid the price for our sins so that we may start afresh. And He granted to us the heart and mind of Yahweh. He gave us a portion of Yahweh's Spirit. The law of Yahweh points to our sin, admonishes us, and calls us out of this sinful world. Those who claim the title of lawgiver, but do not in fact bear that title, and are thus liars, provoke humankind to seek justification from all guilt by teaching that the law of Yahweh is dead. And if I can't obey the law, then I'm going to declare that it's dead. That way I don't have to do it. These are pretentious men who live in a spirit of blasphemy, arrogance, and pride. They lack humility and feel worthy enough to dishonor Yahweh and His Messiah. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, "To the angel of the assembly of Laodicea write, 'The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning,'" and the word "beginning" there means chief builder. "The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning, the chief builder of the creation of Yahweh, says this, 'I know your deeds. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, I am neither hot nor cold, I will spit or I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is a condemnation of people who waver back and forth and not willing to walk the path, the narrow path described by the law of Yahweh. The people of Laodicea were wishy-washy about their obedience to Yahweh. Yahshua chastises them, calling them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he counsels them to repent, to overcome the temptations of this world by adhering to the law of Yahweh. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. John 8 and verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Those two words, own resources, should be a caution to anyone who is interpreting the word, who is preaching the word. We must not speak out of our own heart, but from the heart of Yahweh. No matter what Yahweh or his son asks us to do, it's from his heart that we preach. And in that same book and chapter, verse 55, yet you have not known him, speaking of Yahweh, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. And my favorite verse, one that was given to me when I was called out of Babylon, is Romans 3, verse 4. And it's interesting as I examine this. Paul is saying to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 4, certainly not, referring to a previous verse, indeed, let Yahweh be true, and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Now, when you read that, and when I've read it for the last 8 years or so, I've thought that he was speaking to me. That you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Now, I can picture being judged. Who is he speaking to? Well, he's quoting David. And David was speaking to Yahweh. So, when Paul reiterates this, he too is speaking to Yahweh. That Yahweh be true and every man a liar. That you, Yahweh, may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Yahweh's being judged? Yes. Okay. Who is Paul speaking of when he says that you may be justified? You may be surprised to discover that Paul is in fact referencing a verse in which David is praying to Yahweh for forgiveness for murdering Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Psalm 51 and verse 4 says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Okay? Now, to our ears, the phrases, when you are judged, Paul said, and when you judge, which David said, sounds like opposites. But they are not. They are describing the same events, just from a different time frame. The two authors are teaching about how Yahweh is always right. And when men doubt his truth, they are justifiably condemned. When men act outside of the law of Yahweh, they are effectively condemning Yahweh's right to rule over them. They are calling Yahweh a liar, saying, your law is false, It is dead and has no hold on me. Of course, man has no power to condemn Yahweh. And all too soon, those who take this stance will find themselves being tossed into the air, or I should say through the air, into the lake of fire. As is described in Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I say, may Yahweh shine His light into their darkened hearts now, that their lives may be preserved as a testimony to the word of Yahweh and to His mercy. And I also say, nevertheless, Father, Your will be done. Praise Yahweh for His mercy. So these passages from King David and the Apostle Paul picture man judging Yahweh. And it ends with Yahweh judging man. David and Paul are referring to the before and after images of that event. It reminds me of the bumper sticker, which I'll recite, but I'm going to correct the names. It says, Yahweh is dead, Nietzsche. Nietzsche is dead, Yahweh. And let's listen to those verses from Paul and David. Again, certainly not. Indeed, that Yahweh be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. In Psalm 51:4, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Do you hear it? Do you hear that man is judging Yahweh and then Yahweh is judging man? Makes sense. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 says, He who says, I know Him, speaking of Yahweh, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And in that same book and chapter, but verse 22, it says, He is a liar who denies that Yahshua is the Messiah, and a pseudo-Messiah who denies the Father and the Son. So someone who claims that Yahshua is not the Messiah is making himself to be a Messiah, in fact, denying the Father and the Son. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10 says, He who believes in the Son of Elohim has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, Elohim has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that Elohim has given of his Son. In Revelation 2:2, I know your works. I know your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. Are you getting the picture? The ninth commandment of the ten is extremely important. It has to do with our salvation. In Exodus chapter 23, starting at verse 1, Exodus 23 and verse 1 describes our human nature and how we like to talk amongst one another. It says, You shall not circulate a false report. Basically a reiteration of 20 verse 16. Do not put your hand with a wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox and his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous. For I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe. For a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress a stranger. For you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19 and verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. It's interesting that he's speaking here of two commandments that are listed in the Ten, connecting stealing and lying together. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, another of the commandments, nor shall you profane the name of your Elohim, I am Yahweh. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your Elohim, I am Yahweh. You shall do no justice. I'm sorry, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Why is he reiterating so many times that he is Yahweh? I think it's because he wants us to get the message. We are to treat others with kindness, and not to speak evil of those that we love. Not to judge, not to threaten, not to blame. Especially not to blame others for the deeds that we commit. He made me do it. I wouldn't have done it if he didn't say that. No, that's false judgment. Psalm 15. This is a short psalm. Psalm 15, the Psalm of David. Yahweh, who may abide in your tabernacle? Actually, this is the verse we read this morning, wasn't it? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Notice the emphasis on heart. In the previous passage, we read that you shall not have anger in your heart toward your brother. And that's an Old Testament idea that Yahshua reiterated. There's a lot. I mean, it's all one book. Yahshua spoke as Yahweh spoke. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear Yahweh. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Another psalm of David, Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Yahweh, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, okay, talking about gossiping here, talking about berating those we care about. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who walks who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early or quickly I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I might cut off the evildoers from the city of Yahweh. 1 John 4, in verse 4, you are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them. And them refers to false teachers. You are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is greater, he who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He who knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the words of Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, gives us two fundamental concepts. One, we are not to spread rumors or negative news that concern confidential matters about someone. To do so is to destroy the fabric of our community. There are times, however, when accurate information, though painful to bear and painful to hear, can be shared as long as there is a justifiable reason. Because it speaks that we shall not bear negative news without cause. For security's sake, for example, it would be important, I would think, to make known to parents that someone with a legally recorded history of child molestation in our community be identified. We depend upon others for our sense of security, connectedness, worth, and strength. Gossiping is bearing false witness, and it leads to shame, fear, betrayal, and isolation. And two, bearing false witness is fundamentally teaching false doctrines. Preaching false doctrine is clearly against your neighbor, for it has the potential to destroy that person in the fiery pit. Yahweh will not wink at open rebellion. To teach that his law is dead and his Messiah is but a prophet is perhaps the ultimate act of disobedience. It is the ultimate violation of the will of Yahweh and the ultimate violation of the ninth commandment. It is the ultimate lie. And I'd like to end by reading a chapter that seems exclusively devoted to this commandment. Chapter 3 of James. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. That's the word there. It means by the fires of the lake of fire. Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Elohim and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of Elohim. We curse them with the same mouth that we bless Yahweh. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And how do we make peace? We make peace by speaking the truth. We make peace by speaking as Yahweh spoke to us. We create peace by speaking our thoughts and our feelings to one another. We speak and we create peace when we are honest with one another and shun the temptation of speaking evil about others, especially those that we love and those that love us. May Yahweh see, may He see that we speak only His truth and only in kindness to those of our community and to the stranger who comes to our community. Hallelujah.